Hello everyone and welcome back to Mountain Talk with Sioux City Explorers Manager Steve Montgomery. Mountain Talk is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux City Manager questions about the Explorers, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Steve's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, Steve talks to us about what he expects from his team over the last five games of the season. He tells us how much he dislikes riding on the bus. And does Steve think Rob is really goofy? Let's find out on Mountain Talk. Let's welcome back manager Steve Montgomery. Steve, do you have team updates you'd like to provide to us?
We've traded Brad Orsi to Lincoln. Takes us down to nine pitchers to finish the year out. We just felt like at the deadline that we couldn't pass up the deal that was presented to us. It is for a player to be named later, albeit that, you know, the player to be named later has been, in our opinion, named. It's just according to if that player gets picked up by a major league organization, then obviously we would fall into a situation where we have to select another player. But it was presented to us at the trade deadline with about 20 minutes left to go that they wanted Brad. We wanted someone off their team. They agreed to it. And, you know, it makes us thin on the pitching side of it. We've had to push our starters now up in the 120 pitches. They understand, but it's only two times through the rotation doing that.
With you guys just having five games left in the season at this point, what are some things you're looking for out of your team?
Well, just to continue to work and try to get better at your task. You know, we're not going to, you know, not take BP and not take our ground balls and not try to get better. I think this is a game of repetition. It's a game that you have to put in all your hard work, and we need to prepare in game one just like we prepare in game 100. Whether you're in it or out of it, you still have to go through and do your work. And, you know, we're looking for next year people that are still hungry, people that are hungry to get back to major league teams and major league organizations. And, you know, we're sitting here today out of it, but we're still putting in the work.
I know that losing is never really enjoyable to you in any way, but are there some things you've kind of learned out of this season that you'd like to build off of for next year, or things you are looking to improve even your own managerial style?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with the addition of this new wall that we have in Sioux City, the ball's been flying this year at a rate that we've never seen before. You know, so moving forward, I'm going to look for maybe a power hitter or two to put in the middle of my lineup that can get the ball over the wall. The wind on a consistent basis does not blow in the same direction. One day it's blowing out to right, one day it's blowing out to left, one day it's blowing in, one day it's blowing straight out. So you can never really gauge which way the wind's blowing. But what I'd like to do is add a left-handed power bat and a right-handed power bat to throw in the 3-4 hole of my lineup, and then build around that, and then build around, you know, speed, on base percentage, defense, and you know, just moving forward. Need to, although I thought we had it pretty close in spring training, and then we had some injuries and guys getting picked up, solidify and get depth in that starting rotation.
One guy that's really been hot for you over the last month is LeVon Washington. What about his game has kind of changed that he's got on a roll like this?
Oh, he's not missing his pitches. I mean, that's the biggest thing. He's worked all year long on being able to pull the ball a little bit more. And last year he was more of a left center field guy. You know, he would drive the ball to left center field, and really when he pulled the ball, he'd pull it on the ground. Now he's able to pull the ball in the air, get his hands inside. He's still able to take the ball to left center, but he's added the repertoire of pulling the ball in the air, hence why he's got double-digit homers. Yes, his average has dipped about, you know, 50 points off last year, but the power numbers are there. And in the month of August, I think he has 10, 11 doubles and, you know, 7, 8, 9 homers. And he's really been a joy to watch. And, you know, you're seeing why a little bit of why he was a first-round pick. It's just, you know, he's had every joint that has a labrum operated on in his time. He's had some real bad luck in affiliated ball. And he's a guy that comes to the field and wants to win. If he's 0-for-5 and we win, he's happy. If he's 3-for-4 and we lose, he's not happy. So he's definitely a guy you enjoy being around because he puts the name on the front of the uniform before the back of the uniform.
I know that you, as you enter into the offseason here and you're looking to kind of build your team, I would assume that there's some players that you look at that you're kind of thinking have a really good shot of being signed by an affiliate club. Are there individuals that you're seeing have that good likelihood this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously what Tyler Ogle has done, you know, we should be able to place him into a spring training next year, try to get him an opportunity back. Tony Campana is another one that we're going to work hard at to get him into a spring training. You know, Nate Sampson, I just don't know why Nate is here. If he can't be a AAA utility guy or even a big league utility guy, I don't know what they're looking for. All those guys are great in the clubhouse. They lead by example. They keep their mouth shut of the utmost professionalism. And then we have a few young guys that are interesting. Dre Gleason is almost hitting 300 in our league, plays first base. You would think that, you know, he may have an opportunity. Ryan Flores, who's our reliever, you know, his walks are a little bit high for a reliever, but, you know, it's 70-some innings, 90-some strikeouts on the year, and he's been doing a great job out of our pen. You know, that's just naming a few. I'm probably missing a few, but we'd like to place as many guys in the spring training as possible, and we'll make those necessary phone calls for the guys on our roster and try to get them in the spring training. That's what this is about. You gotta keep the fire burning in their bellies and get them as many opportunities as they can, because if they know you're fighting for them to get out of here, then, you know, they're going to fight for you when they're here.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We first of all begin with Zach from Sioux City. He says, I know managers and coaches talk about that you can't blame injuries, but can you look at the season like this and ask yourself, what if?
Oh, absolutely. I think I do that on a daily basis. I mean, you think about it. We got off to a 9-2 start. Ran into a little bit of a turmoil where we lost Alex White. We sign a kid, and he throws 7 scoreless in Fargo and then comes into the locker room 2 days later and quits. So then you add that, and then James Needy getting picked up. So we needed 2 starters immediately. I mean, 2 weeks into the season, you're 2 starters down. And then you somehow pieced it together. You got pretty good again, and, you know, then you lose Nagowski, Flair goes down, and then the list just crumbles. But yeah, you look back and you say, "What if?" And it's interesting. You know, if you'd have had your team together, where would you have been? I think we would have been right there, fighting for maybe a division or a wild card spot. But it wasn't to be. And you know, we've had some fortunate things happen with us over the course of the last 2 years, winning our division 2 years in a row. You got to have some luck, you got to have good players, and you got to have players that stay healthy. And, you know, we've had that over the course of 2 years. It just seems like this year, all of our bad luck happened in like a 4-week window. And when you have that many bodies go down in a 4-week window, you just don't, there's just not enough of that quality player laying around looking for a job. And, you know, we had to go young. And when you go young, you know, sometimes, you know, the experience level isn't there, and they get a little overwhelmed by the opportunity.
I think people forget, too, is that you don't have a AAA that you can turn to kind of fill out your roster or something.
You know, my radio guy, Dave Nitz, says that all the time in our pregame radio. He's like, you know, you don't have, if you're a AAA team, they don't call someone up from AA. You got to go out and find it. And that's what's unique about our job. That's what makes our job so difficult. Everybody thinks that, you know, this job isn't that hard, and it is very, very difficult, because you're a major league GM, you're a major league manager, and you're controlling all aspects of the baseball operations, which makes it very, very difficult for one person to handle.
Plus you have 40 independent teams fighting for the same guys that you are.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of times when, you know, you're calling guys in the off season, and you know, they're pretty open. You know, this is who's calling me or who you've been talking to, and they just blurt it out. So, you know, you run into a lot of the same people. That's what's, you know, for instance, you know, you're in St. Paul. I talked to Brady Shoemaker. You know, It's just, you know, he chose St. Paul. And, you know, it's St. Paul's a great place to play. George is a great manager. And, you know, he's had success there. And, you know, but you don't have no ill will to these players. You know, you can't have everybody. You just can't do it. And, you know, we wish everybody nothing but the best when they decide not to come to Sioux City. You wish them the best and you tell them to come say hi so that, you know, you get to see a face with a voice that you hear on the phone.
Paul from Covington, would like to know, he says, all the teams in the American Association were really tightly packed, it seemed, at the All-Star break, but now there seems to be a really clear upper echelon. Is that just kind of something how baseball shakes out as the season goes along?
I think you see the upper echelon as the teams that really didn't have injury and didn't have a lot of movement off their team, per se, with the players moving back to major league organizations. You know, if you look at a Winnipeg, who I think has the best record in the league, you look at Winnipeg, they've had basically the same lineup all year. They've had the same starting rotation, and they've tinkered a little bit, was able to add Charlie Rosario. And then they, you know, the bullpen, they've tinkered maybe one or two moves the entire year. I think they've floated maybe a utility guy here and a backup catcher there. So, you look at Lincoln, pretty much same thing. They lost a couple pitchers, but plugged guys in right there that they had laying around. And, you know, Wichita, we were talking off the air, I think they've made six transactions all year. So that shows you the health of their team. And, you know, Fargo's an interesting team. They've gotten hot late. They're riding their starting pitching, and their starting pitching has really stepped up in this surge. And, you know, I think that all teams looking forward don't want the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks in the playoffs because, you know, they probably have arguably the best starting pitching in the league. And in a short season, in a short series, you know, you're going to have to face Tyler Alexander twice. So that's a large task at hand.
Jack from Sioux City asks, he says, I know you talked about this before, but I would think that the Fargo-Moorhead job would be a very appealing to you. Is that something you would consider, if you can tell us? And could you even talk about taking the job because you were under contract now?
You know, I'm under contract. I'm happy where I'm at. You know, I've turned this place around. We've worked hard on changing the culture of this place, and it's a place where that I'm under contract for 9 years. So, I mean, obviously, I have friends and family there. You know, I grew up there. I know the area well. You know, but, you know, I'm under contract here. I'm happy to, you know, put the Sioux City Explorers uniform on a daily basis. You look at, you know, things that, is it a more attractive place and various things of that nature? That's just cosmetic. And I think the true making of it is, you know, the relationships you build with the players in this clubhouse right now. Moving forward, you know, I want them to be able to trust me and trust that I'll be here. And, you know, I'm fully anticipating putting the Sioux City Explorers uniform on next year unless told otherwise.
Chris from Dakota City would like to know, he says, I know you are probably not wanting to see a particular team win the championship this season, but is there a team you really hope does not win?
Yeah, everybody other than the Sioux City Explorers. you know, I mean, obviously, it really doesn't matter to me who wins it because I'm not involved in it. And, you know, that's what's in my stomach right now as it is, I'm sure, with all eight other managers that aren't going to get in. You know, they want to be in the playoffs. That's what we're here for. We're here to try to win championships and win rings and move these young men back to major league organizations. And the job as a manager in this league is clear. Just win. I mean, that's it. And it's the closest thing to major league baseball that some players will ever play because the emphasis is on winning.
Derek from North Sioux City asks, he says, how long after the season ends are you working on next year's team?
Probably the next day. It'll start right afterwards, right after the first game. You know, last year was right after the playoff loss in Wichita. You know, you're gonna have your player meetings the next day. Who's gonna play? Who's not? We've already Had discussions on who we'd like to bring back, who, you know, we'd like to part ways with, stuff like that. And we'll talk to these men after our last game that day. I think it's a 2 o'clock game, so about 5:30, 5:15. We'll start working on next year's team. And you know, once I get home, I take about 2 weeks to become a dad again and decompress and everything of that nature. All the stress from the season and everything like that. You take about 2 weeks, and then you just start. You just start looking up players and, you know, talking to agents and various things, who's going to be available on the six-year agent, free agent front and stuff like that. So it's a year-round job. There's no doubt about it. I think anybody that tells you different is lying to you. It's a 12-month job, and you gotta be the first in line sometimes to land the good players.
Ethan from Sioux City asks, you have had great closers the last few years. If you were looking to get the last out in a game, who would be the guy you would trust the most?
I think PJ's done a fabulous job for us this year. The only team that's really hit him around has been Winnipeg. They seem to have his number. I think he's given up, I don't know how many earned runs he's given, probably somewhere around the 20 mark, and I bet you 12 or 13 of them are against Winnipeg. You take those stats out, I'm sure he's probably in the ones ERA wise, but I really think PJ is very, very good. He understands the role. He understands what we ask. He hardly makes mistakes. And it just seems like all the mistakes were made against Winnipeg this year, but you know, PJ's done a great job. And, you know, obviously, if he wasn't injured, Rob Wirt, arguably maybe the best reliever ever to come through here. Stats wise, you know, those two guys ring a bell to me.
Carl would like to know if the bus rides are really that bad.
They're awful. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're great. You know, it's just that your life is in another person's hands, and not only your hands, but all the people. And you travel through the middle of the night, which is that's the scariest thing. And okay, the first thing I do when I get on the bus is ask the guy how well rested he is. Normally they say they're pretty good, and you know, that's just me just getting a little relief. But you know, traveling through the middle of the night, you just worry about you worry about drunk drivers, you worry about various things, and maybe him falling asleep and things of that. But you know, we've been fortunate. Our bus driver that we have had the last couple times has been pretty darn good, and you seem to build trust with certain drivers. And the last couple trips, we've had the same driver, and it's been pretty good.
Our next question comes from Phil from Minneapolis. He says, Joe Mauer used to hit like 20 home runs a season, and then he was hitting just like 7 or 8, all in a span of just one season. How does a player have a dramatic fall off like that?
Well, I think a little bit of it is the ballpark there. You know, they got out of the Homer Dome, and, you know, with the little short baggy, yeah, it's still short to right field, but you're outside, so the elements are playing a role in that now. And it's just you know, as you get older, sometimes you can't get the ball in the air as much, and I've seen that happen to players in our league. And as you get older, the hands get just a hair slower, and you can't pull the ball and get it up in the air. And you know, he's still a great player, you know, obviously not catching exclusively anymore, but you know, a pretty professional guy on and off the field.
Lynn from Concord would like to know, why do you think it is that Clayton Kershaw does not pitch as well in the playoffs?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think sometimes when you see a guy over and over and over, it's not like our league where you're playing a certain team 20 times, so you're going to see the pitchers over and over and over. But in a 7-game series, you're going to see Clayton Kershaw twice. And now with all the advanced scouting and everything that happens, you pretty much know kind of what Clayton's going to try to do to each guy in the lineup with all the scouting reports. But, you know, obviously you're seeing the better teams over and over. And I think the more you see someone, the advantage goes to the hitter because they kind of understand how you're trying to get them out.
Next up, we have Tyler from Burbank. He says, did you watch any of the McGregor-Mayweather fight? What a sham.
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw we actually were in Lincoln, and one of our players was having it FaceTimed from someone who purchased the fight. So I don't know if that's legal or not, but we did it. And we watched it, and, you know, it just we all knew it was a moneymaker. I mean, that's just how it is. It's, you know, it was a fight that they both kind of knew what to say to make the fight happen and to build this fight up. And, you know, Conor tagged him a couple times early in the fight. And, you know, I think a big part of that fight might have been when Mayweather kind of said it was a low blow, but it really wasn't. I think that body shot hurt Mayweather, and then, you know, he got a chance to recover from it and then start the fight again. But, yeah, I mean, McGregor just kind of tired out, not used to fighting that length of fight. But truly, I would like to see it happen again, because I would give Conor McGregor a better shot this time around and give him 7 or 8 months to prepare instead of the, you know, 4 or 5, whatever it was. Give him longer to train as a boxer and let him physically get fit to last 12 rounds.
Lewis from Des Moines asks, he says, you talked about that you are more of a college football fan. Florida State opens up with a big game against Alabama. Any thoughts on what you expect out of that contest?
The national champions are playing tonight, and that's Ohio State. I'm a huge Ohio State guy. I love Ohio State, but, you know, obviously I'm down in the Florida State, Florida area, and I have a lot of friends that are Florida State. You know, it should be an entertaining game. Getting off this early and two teams of this stature, unprecedented in college football, you just hope that the loser doesn't get on the outside looking in, because I feel like these are two of the top four that deserve to be, you know, obviously if they take care of their business, that would deserve to be in the national championship semifinals, college football playoffs, or whatever it may be. You know, I like Alabama in the game. I think they're just gonna out athlete them. It's hard to vote. It's hard to bet against Nick Saban. If I was a betting man, I would put my money on. Alabama. But don't be surprised if Florida State knocks them off. Florida State has done a great job over the course since Jimbo Fisher has taken over at getting the recruits. That's why you see Florida not where they're used to being in that top five talk. It's because Florida State is killing the state of Florida in the recruiting battle, and hence you see Miami's a little down and Florida's a little down.
Ryan from Council Bluffs would like to know if there are other sports that you feel really help to improve a person's baseball skills.
Oh, soccer. I think soccer improves everybody athletically, because it's learning your feet and it's learning, you know, how to move laterally quick, and how to control your body. So I really, I let my son play soccer in between the baseball seasons in December and January. I force him to play soccer just so he learns his feet and for the conditioning aspect of it. You're constantly running, you're getting in better shape. I like the football, although I don't think you should play football till you're 13, 14 years old, due to the concussions and various things of that nature. But I think football builds that mental toughness, you know, to go out there and give it your all. And football is definitely a team sport, because if one person doesn't do his job, the play doesn't work. So it's a team builder, and it's also a mental toughness sport.
We have a few questions for Dr. Steve now. The first one comes from somebody identifying himself as confused. He says, I have had 3 girlfriends over the last 19 months, and all of them cheated on me. My friend told me it is time to start looking at myself more as the issue. Is he right?
No, absolutely not. If you can't be in a relationship that you trust the person and you can't trust what they're doing in their free time, you shouldn't be with that person anyways. I don't think you should be looking at yourself. I just think you're maybe meeting the wrong type of person. Maybe look at where you're meeting these people, and you know, maybe not try to meet anybody at a bar. I mean, that's a dead giveaway. And maybe look to meet someone, you know, just out, maybe like church. Church is a great place to meet somebody. You have something in common. And just maybe look at where you're meeting them. Don't look at yourself, because obviously if you're not cheating, you're not the problem.
aggravated dad asks, he says, "My son is being bullied at school, and I went to go down there and punch some little kid in the face. I'm trying to find a reasonable solution to resolving this. I am really lost as to what to do. Advice?"
You know, I had the same problem a few years ago, and I went down and talked to the guidance counselor, talked to the assistant principal and the principal at the school. And I just told him that if you don't handle it, I'm going to. And I think if you go down there and you say it that way and you put it in a stern voice, I think things will get handled. So my advice is just to go down, talk to the school people. And if it doesn't get handled, then, you know, then maybe you give your kids some advice on how to handle it. And if that can't happen, then, you know, you have to approach the family of the kid that's getting bullied and tell the dad that he better get it to knock it off, or, you know, maybe I'm going to get it to knock off myself. So I think the more stern you are with kids, sometimes the message gets through. But go to the school, talk to the school first, and see if they can handle it.
Did you give the Steve Montgomery look when you take the field at that point?
Yeah, it was not a pretty thing. It just was a kid just kept just grabbing book bags. He was doing it to everybody. And, you know, my son just finally told me about it. And I went down there and I just told him that if you don't get it to stop, I'm going to get it to stop after school. And we're not a bus school. We're a school that everybody comes and picks up your kids and various things of that. So my son pointed out what the kid was. And, you know, fortunately for me, I didn't have to say anything to the kid. They got it handled in-house and it stopped.
Oh, good deal. Anna would like to know, what do you think is the appropriate age for a kid to have a cell phone?
That's a great question, because, you know, as long as you can, I'll just say this, as long as you can hold out on your first kid, the better it's going to be for the second kid. Because our first one, we waited till he went to junior high school, and then now my daughter has had a phone for a year now, and she's 8 years. She started when she was 8 years old, because, you know, the brother gets the phone and now I need a phone too. But I think when you start in the junior high school, they really start needing one, but it's getting younger and younger. It's just me, according to how many activities your child is involved in, dictates whether they need a phone or not. Because, you know, if they're an active kid into like elementary sports and, you know, let's say activities after school, they probably need a cell phone just in case something happens, the activity gets canceled, so that they can get a hold of you, because, you know, they don't want to go up to the office all the time and use the phone. So just according, but I always like to say junior high, but I know it's getting younger. Probably, I mean, my daughter has had one since she's been 8, so I'd like to say 10, 11, but obviously things change.
Lieutenant Mike asks, he says, "As a war vet, it offends me that players kneel during the national anthem. I agree with free speech, but this just seems disrespectful to me. Am I just out of touch?"
Well, we appreciate your service to our country. Obviously, you've put me in a position that I'm able to do my job because of what you've sacrificed, not only yourself, but with your family as well. So we appreciate it. But yeah, I find it very disrespectful. And, you know, there's a professional football league up in Canada. So if you don't like us playing the national anthem before our sporting event, go play in the CFL. And you don't get those, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to do what we love to do and, you know, what they love to do as professional football players. I understand free speech. I understand that. But you're disrespecting all the veterans that sacrificed not only their lives, but you know, time with their family and away on missions for 9 months and stuff like that. Respect the flag. It means that you have the right to do what you want to do, and that's play football. Stand there. If you want to say things to the media and stuff like that, I'm okay with. But when that flag's being raised in the national anthem, stand up, put your hand on your heart, and be proud that you're an American.
Doug has a comment for you. He says, "Millennials make me afraid for the future of this country."
What are millennials?
I think like the people that are in college now up to like 29 or 30.
Oh, I mean, you know, that's just how it is. You know, I mean, everything's going techie and, gizmos and gadgets and everything. I mean, I think before you, I mean, we have a self-driving car right now. And, I mean, who knows what it's going to be like in 20, 30 years. You might be able to just fly a car. So, you know, kids are getting smarter at a younger age now. I think our education is way better than what it was. I mean, my daughter's in third grade, and she's learning what I learned in eighth grade now. So education's getting higher, and that just is what it is. I mean, there's nothing we can change about that. We're going to get older and move on, and those people are going to be around. So just kind of deal with it and, you know, try to put the right people in place to make sure this country's successful.
For our final question of the week, also our main question of the week, Luke from Wichita would like to know, is Rob as goofy as he seems?
Rob Wirt?
I guess he's talking about me.
Oh, yeah, I would say Rob Wirt, and yeah, you guys are a little goofy. You know, I never knew you, you know, before our sit-down interview. I saw you in a picture and stuff, and you know, the funny story is that we kind of used you as motivation last year when you said that, you know, we were just floundering in the wind, and that you know, that it would be hard for us to make the playoffs. I kind of showed the players, you know, because you do a great job at covering the American Association. So you know, we kind of used that as motivation. But you know, sitting down with you, it's you're just passionate about writing, and you're passionate about the American Association, and pretty much everything you cover, I've learned that you're pretty passionate guy about it. And it's been a treat doing this weekly interview with you. And but yeah, I can see where you would think that he would be quirky. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for having me.
We want to thank Manager Steve Montgomery for joining us on Mound Talk this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Sioux City Explorers manager, please send them to us at asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Mound Talk.